The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give, so the last will be first and the first will be last.' The gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward, and like the first two that get here get candy, so come on. It's good to see your faces. Okay, so we just heard this story about workers in the vineyard, and Jesus said, if you get there first, you get the prize. Is that what that story said? Does that sound like Jesus? Not really, does it? No. So, how are you feeling that I just gave two kids candy? You feel pretty good. Anybody think maybe that's not very fair? Yeah, I spent some time with my 3-year-old niece, and she would be stomping her feet at me right now and telling me that that wasn't fair. What did this story tell us about? Yeah? Yeah, well, Jesus actually isn't fair because he's telling a story about a landowner who paid people the same, whether they worked 8 hours or whether they worked an hour. I think Jesus, our theme today, is help us embrace your grace. And Jesus has this way of wanting to kind of turn things around for us. And did you notice the landowner just kept bringing people in, right? He just kept bringing people in. And that's what Jesus does as well. So this embrace, help us embrace your grace. What does that word embrace sound like to you? What's another word for that? Kind of means a hug, right? Do you have any people in your life that you like to give hugs? Mm-hmm. Who do you give hugs to? Oh, very well, and you might just kind of side hug them, right? You might just kind of give them a little pat. But some people you know a little better, and you might get a big embrace, right? So that's kind of what that word means, embrace. So God isn't like out to just give us a little pat. God is about the big embrace. So take your hands like this and put them up, and I want you to imagine this is God's grace coming right to you, and give yourself like a big old squeeze. Very good. And so whenever you're feeling like mad or sad or happy or joyful, what you can remember is that God's grace is right there for you, and this is a way we can remember it. Okay, so let's do it again, and then we're going to pray. and then you will all get candy. Don't worry. Okay? All right. Big squeeze. Jesus, thank you for your love that stays with us and holds us. Help us to remember your embrace is big and strong and for us always. Amen. Okay, here you go. Pass it around here. Leah, I'm going to put you in charge. You make sure everybody gets some, okay? And then you can go back to your seats. So Jesus tells us this story today that is all at once a story that can sound a lot like a big gift and be incredibly annoying. I mean, it's a great story if you're the one who slept in late, had your leisure cup of coffee, wandered into town, and still ended up with a full day's pay. Wouldn't we all like that? The gift of time and space to be refreshed and work. Some of you are thinking, that sounds like retirement. I'm thinking, that sounds like sabbatical. But it's not such a great story if you're the one who got up early, shot back your coffee, and didn't have time to chew your food before you dropped kids off at three different schools, up with the same day and the same pay and the same outcome. Kind of like maybe if your partner goes on sabbatical and you don't. Might be a little annoying sometimes. Well, here is this story where we might actually kind of be able to feel that inner three-year-old, where we would like to argue with Jesus and say, that is not fair, and stomp our feet and go pout in our room. Because here is another story where Jesus tells us something that is quite opposite of what we're told by the world. It's opposite of how we live day to day. It's opposite of what that really loud voice that lives inside our head says. You must work more, do more, be more, and earn your place. Rest, that's for the weak. I hear college students say all the time, well, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And if you are one who gets to sip your coffee and look at the sunrise, or take time for meditation instead of devouring every piece of news that comes across a screen, well, that just seems a little lazy to the rest of us. We can be quick to place ourselves in the spot of the workers, at least culturally. We are the ones who put in a long day, and when we didn't get more out of it, it's an easy place to identify and see ourselves because it's really comfortable there in that place because we live it so often. And then we don't even see the space for the other side to be true for us as well. So I'm now living 1 week into the other side of sabbatical, the other side of pure gift of time for deeper engagement with family, with spirituality, with more deeply engaging my view and knowledge of the world. And that is a true state of gratitude. Just a deep felt experience of the gift and grace you extended me in making this time and space. And also gratitude for this community, for all the places I went, for this community to be the one to come home to be welcomed back in your embrace and in your love and in your grace and in a closet full of ping pong balls. Don't worry, I know whose idea that was. But I love them, actually, and they're not all picked up yet because I'm reading each one as I pick them up piece by piece off the floor. They're still all over the floor. On this side, I see all the grace, but I have to confess a little confession to you that the beginning of sabbatical was a little bit tough. Not because I wasn't loving what I was seeing and experiencing, but because I kind of had this ache, like I didn't feel like I earned 1 second of this time. I kept trying to stay stuck as a worker who did her best, got up early, was productive every second of the day, and could go to bed knowing that at least I'd done something to earn my place on this earth. So here I am now with sitting in this gift of living differently and seeing differently and having the opportunity to sit with that gift. And it was a little uncomfortable at first. Don't worry, I got over it. I learned to embrace it. And I started to notice those moments of letting go and realizing God's presence in different places. Kevin, our faith formation minister, asked me that question. When were you like, oh wow, I'm so grateful to be here? Well, that happened a lot. But I remember the first one. It was about a week in. We were in Iceland, and it was very cold. It was like today. It was cold and rainy, although it was really windy. And that kind of weather makes me a little grumpy. So sorry, I drink a lot of coffee for you, so we should be okay. The winds in Iceland, where we were going that day to the northern peninsula, can get to 80 miles an hour. And there's big signs on the roads that tell you how fast the winds are. And the rental car company warns you that if you're dumb enough to drive your car in a sandy area in that high of winds, it will strip off the paint of the car. And they won't cover that. There isn't anything that covers that. You'll pay for that yourself. And so we had this big windy day. Now, it was not that windy, but it was the kind of wind that you can lean back into, you know, and it'll hold you up in those big gusts. And so our plan for the day was to hike up to this Slot Canyon. So, you know, it's this mountain, and you can follow this stream up into the rock and go up even further into the mountain. And we'd already been out of the car a few times, seeing seals and warming up for coffee, so we knew how bad the wind was when we pulled into this parking lot for this hike. And it wasn't far. We could see where we wanted to go. It was less than a mile, but it was this less of a mile of big, wide, open space where the wind was really whipping through. And so the four adults in the car, my parents were with us at that time, looked at each other, and I don't remember who said it, but someone said, this might be a once-in-a-lifetime experience we don't need to have. We're all kind of nodding and looking at our maps for the next thing, and John, who's 13 and turns out has more energy than the wind, looked at us like we were totally lame and said, well, I'm going. And he pushed his way out of the car. And I thought, well, if he's going, I'm going, because this is what I'm here for. And so we all get out of the car and start trudging up. The path was up the whole way. And, you know, you have to really put your head down and engage your core and be committed, right? And I looked up briefly, and my husband was saying, well, I couldn't hear him, but he was mouthing, turn around, turn around. And so we all turned around and leaned into the wind. And it was just, you know, this gorgeous view right there that we hadn't really seen yet because our heads had just been focused on being down. And it was that moment that I just felt this huge sense of gratitude. And I even thought, thank you that I'm here on this incredibly awful, windy, grumpy day, doing something I would have never done without my boy's spirit pulling me up the path. Thank you for this space needed to step out of comfort and be fully present in a moment of grace. Here's the truth. We are all on the side of grace, whether we embrace it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we live into it or not. Even when we feel like we are the ones who worked all day and get the short end of the stick, we are still on the side of grace. Jesus tells this story because for him, there's just not room for binary thinking. There's not room for either or in or out. It's all a both and. And Jesus consistently tells these kinds of stories. We don't know who did more work or who earned their pay or not that day, because that's not the point. Jesus tells stories where we are constantly reminded that he throws grace around like it's free for everyone. He tells stories to get us out of our own heads, to change that voice that is loud and proud and tells us to produce every second, to flood the messages of the world that you are only worthy based on what you make or do or achieve. And this grace is there to embrace each and every day in the big moments, in those big wins, and in the teeny tiny ones that we can so easily miss when our heads are down. Embracing grace isn't necessarily easy. It takes being present. It takes setting some things down, sometimes quite literally, setting down the cell phone, setting down the pile of work, setting down the book that you're reading or the watch that's keeping track of you. And it's also about setting down things of our hearts and our minds, the burdens that we carry, the envy that we might have, the things that we think are not fair, so that we can be open to grace in our midst. Sometimes it means chewing slowly enough that we can taste our food and remaining present in a conversation before moving on, to notice God around us even on grumpy days. It means getting uncomfortable enough to pause and let go of those things that bind us up. It's what we do every time we have confession together, or when we say words of confession alone. When we say those words, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. Please forgive us, God. We are praying for the ability to hear that absolution that is spoken every time. The words of promise that, yes, you are forgiven. You are free from your sin. And don't let them just sit in our ears, but sink into our minds and fill up our hearts. Because then what happens is true miracle. Embracing grace for ourselves leads us to embracing grace for others. Because when we are forgiven and know it and live it, then we live as messengers of what we have received. And we can extend it to those around us. We can help to make that path for God's grace to be real and lived into. We help make that path in what we speak for and against, where we place time and energy and money, and how we silence that voice that says, you are not enough. Because the truth is that that voice is lying to you. Because not being enough, that's not a thing with God. What is a thing is allowing the song of God's infinite, all-encompassing love to pulse through our minds and our hearts and our bodies. Because grace and love and mercy and forgiveness, those are all the things. The promises that we lean into like that wind. Those promises that will hold us up and show us what God will do next in this free embrace of grace. Let us pray. Jesus, we confess that we are in bondage and cannot free ourselves. Send your grace to wash over us. Open our eyes to the moments of your presence, the love that appears when we do hard things, and the grace that opens us up to live into your embrace. May we allow the words of our baptism, the calling of our forgiveness, to enter the crevices of our lives so we live in the freedom that is promised and open to each of us. Amen.